Wow, so the few of us who braved the storm this morning. A couple things here as we get started. First, this is week three of our Journey Continues series, and I want to bring to your attention, so our annual meeting is scheduled for today, following service, which what we'll do is we'll talk a bit about our goals for this year. We're going to look at the budget. We'll vote on the budget, make sure that we're all in agreement that it's so bizarre. There's like so many empty seats. This whole section here, it's totally thrown me off here this morning. And then Gina just moved over here, so all right. Thank you, Ted. It's like the movies. We need popcorn. So our annual meeting will be following service. We'll present the budget. We'll have leave some space to ask any questions about the budget. We have copies on the budget at the back table. Also, our membership covenants. We talked about this last week, this commitment to awaken for the year. We have those sign-up sheets on the back table, and we are just making sure we're just crunching all the numbers to make sure that we have a quorum for our meeting for today. So Debbie's overseeing that. So if there's anyone else who has not filled out a membership form and you desire to commit to Awaken, be a part of Awaken for this year, please fill that form out. You can put it in the black box, and we'll make sure that we have enough members here today for us to make all the votes and have our annual meeting. Now, this morning, what I thought we would do is I would share my favorite, my all-time favorite story from the Bible. How's that sound? And it comes from the book of Joshua. And I ran across this story, and I saw it this way a couple of years ago. And ever, like the first time I saw it, it was just so eye-opening. And I carried this story with me, and it is, like I said, it's my all-time favorite story. And it takes place, I'm going to give you a little background here as we jump in this morning. It takes place with the Israelites camped by the Jordan River. And they're about to enter, they're about to cross the Jordan River and enter into the Promised Land. This land that God had been promising, telling them about for so many years. So for generation after generation, the Israelites have heard about this promised land that God was bringing them to. And they're finally here. They're camped out by the river, about to cross over into the promised land. The end goal is in sight. Now, for the previous 40 years, the Israelites had been wandering around in the desert. 40 years before this moment, they had been rescued. They had been set free from slavery in Egypt. And the subsequent 40 years, they spent wandering throughout the wilderness. In other words, they were homeless. They were landless, which in the world at this time was extremely important because land was your identity. And so for the Israelites, for these 40 years of wandering, of exile, being nomads, carrying their possessions on their back, they essentially had no identity. And so this crossing over into the promised land for them, it was a chance for them to finally have some identity. And who's leading this entire group but the priests? The priests are the one who are leading this entire procession. And what are they holding? They're holding the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark would have symbolized God's presence. So as the priests are leading the way, holding this Ark, what this is signifying is that it's not just man that's leading the Israelites into the Promised Land, but rather it's God who's leading the way. So by having the Ark there in the front, leading this procession, it's signifying to all the people that God is the one who is leading us. And I have a map up here. So on your, I guess this would be your right-hand side, is where the Israelites are all camped out. This is like 80s computer graphics. It's like the best I could find. Haven't we made it into the 21st century. This is like the first computer graphics is what it looks like. But that blue line going up in the middle, that's the Jordan River. And then the left-hand side would be the Promised Land. So at the beginning of our story, the Israelites are over here on the right. Let's just call it this side over here. You're the Israelites camped out. Here's the pole, I guess, and this can be our river. And you've already made it into the Promised Land. So maybe you're those that the Israelites are about to conquer. So get ready, because they're coming to wipe you out. Gina was just scouting the way, just to make sure. So let's pick up the story here in Joshua chapter 3. I believe it's verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. Now the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan, and they stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Here's what I love about this story. If we go to the next slide, there's one phrase, one sentence that has stood out to me for years. As soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge, the water stopped flowing. It was not until their feet touched the water that the water stopped. They didn't come upon this river. They were about to cross, and then the water dammed up and everything stopped flowing. It was dry ground. But instead, it was only after the priest's feet touched the water's edge that the Jordan River stopped flowing. Now, I have a video of the Jordan during flood season. Because remember, we're told, which seems like a very throwaway line, does it not? But this is so important, the fact that the Jordan, at this time when the Israelites come upon it, is that it's during flood season. And here's a quick little video of what the Jordan looks like during flood season. I think we have some sound, too, to hear the terror of the rapids. Now, how many of you want to cross this river when you see that? You're camped out, the Promised Land is on the other side. How many of you are going to volunteer to first go across that river? Maybe if you're into CrossFit or the Tough Mudder, you're going to volunteer. If you're into one of those, the Spartan race. But for most of us, we're going to see the river and we're going to say, I'd rather stay over here. Because think about it. The entire nation had to cross over. We're talking the elderly. We're talking children, infants, those who are sick. And at this point, the Israelites, they're nomads. They're carrying all their possessions on their back. Think about the priests. They're carrying the ark. You think the thought ever might have crossed their minds that, whoa, if we were to step into this river, God might get swept downstream? If we were to step into this river and we lost our balance, maybe a wave or a rapid came up and hit the ark and knocked the thing, we might lose God forever. So you'd have to excuse the Israelites if at this moment they're thinking, little too rough, maybe we should wait it out a while. Maybe we should just wait until things die down a little bit. I'm getting images. How many of you, you ever play Oregon Trail back in elementary school? And you had the option when you came upon a river, you could ford the river, you could find another way around. And knowing me as like a 7 or 8 year old boy, I would just ford the river every single time and that the wagon would get swept downstream and everyone would drown. Those are the images that haunt me when I think about this scene with the Israelites right there on the Jordan. But they didn't turn around. They didn't wait it out. Instead, they took a step. They put their feet at the water's edge. And the water stopped flowing. Now, this raises for us a whole bunch of ideas this morning. So let's start with a question. If we go to the next slide. Have you ever had a feeling or a sense within you that you needed to take a certain action? Have you ever had this feeling deep within? For some of you, you might say, God is speaking to me, and you just know beyond any doubt that God is telling you, move in this particular direction. For others, maybe you would say, I don't know how I know, but there's this feeling deep within me that I know what I must do. I can't explain it. I don't know how, but it's almost as if I don't take this step, something within me might die. Have you ever had one of these feelings before? Maybe it's a conversation that you know needs to happen, and you need to go and initiate that conversation. Maybe there's a decision that has to be made, and you know what the decision is. You know what decision must be made, but it's such a tough decision. And so you've been wavering back and forth. It's a decision about a job, about a relationship, about moving somewhere. Or maybe there's a specific action, a certain step that you just know within you, I need to take this step. I don't know how I know it. It might be a difficult step. It might require risk, but I know deep within me that I just must take this step. Maybe there's a practice, a new routine to work into your schedule. You just have this feeling within you, I need more silence in my life. I need to carve out some silence, or I need to re-engage prayer. I need to spend more time praying. Or maybe it's this feeling, this urge within that, you know what, I just need to immerse myself more in Scripture. It's a feeling, it's a sense you have deep within you. Maybe it's a step of going to get yourself sober, or seeing a therapist, taking a vacation. You don't know how you know it, but it's just something that is welling up deep within you. So I believe that this is where the Israelites were at this moment. Here they are at the edge of the river, and they know deep within them that this is where God has led them to. God has brought them to this place. God has been preparing them. They've been hearing about the promised land for year after year. And they know that, yeah, the river might be raging, but this is a step that we must take. And whenever you come across a river, when you come across your Jordan River at flood time, there's three options. There's three doors that we can take. Here's the first door. Turn around and give up. Has this ever happened to you before? There's a step you know you must take, but you look at the river. You know what? The water is moving way too fast. The water, it's too deep. It's too much of a risk. We could step out and we might lose it all. We could step out and everything that has ever meant anything to us might get swept downstream. We might as well turn around and just go back to wandering in the wilderness. We just should just turn around and go back to spending our lives being nomads, because at least we know what that type of life is going to bring. And you might start to second guess yourself a little bit. Was that just my ego telling me to take this step? Did I have some bad meat for dinner? You start to wonder, am I hearing wrong? Is that sense within me a little bit off? And what happens is, when we come across the river, we come to a step we know we must take, but when we turn around and wander in the wilderness, it's as if a piece of our soul starts to die. And we exist, but we exist in this aimless, wandering, passionless, directionless existence. Where there's a step we know we are being called, invited to take. We know that God has led us to this moment, but the risk is too great. The whole thing might blow up in our face. So we decide to turn and walk back to the wilderness. And then a second door that we might choose. We could stand and wait. Has this ever happened before? Again, there's a step, there's something within you, a decision you know you must wait, but it just doesn't seem like the right moment. You're standing there by the river, and you think, let's hold off for a little bit. Let's wait until after the floods die down. But what if the perfect moment never comes? What if that right moment never shows itself? What if this is the year of endless floods and the waters just keep coming day after day? When will that right moment be? And see, what happens is the longer you stand there and wait by the river's edge, where you can see the promised land on the other side, you know where it is that your soul is pulling you, where God is leading you, inviting you, the longer that you stand there, the more anger and resentment and bitterness starts to build up within you. Because you know what you must do, but you can't take that step. And so you start to blame everyone and everything else for you not being able to cross over into the promised land. And so the longer this goes on, the greater the level of resentment that is there that begins to build up within you. And then there's a third step. Or maybe there's a fourth if you want to get creative and build an airplane, a hovercraft, build a boat to get across. But I think the third step at this is to trust that God has planted that desire in your soul. You've come to the river. You see the promised land. And you can decide to trust that God has brought you to this moment. That God has been preparing you your entire life for this moment, to take this step, that God has led you all along, that God is still leading you, and that taking that step, yeah, it's going to be a risk, and you don't know exactly how it's going to play out. You don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you know that regardless, God will be with you, and that God has planted this desire in your soul, and that if you weren't to follow that desire, something within you might wither and go cold. And this is what the Israelites chose to do. They chose to believe that this promise that God had given, this desire for a land of their own, to have an identity, a place where they can call home, was planted in them by God. And they chose to take that step. And as they stepped out into that raging river, the waters stopped flowing. Now, one of the themes that occurs time and time again in the Bible is this idea of trust. But what is trust? And how do you build trust? I think this story beautifully illustrates what trust looks like. So often when we think about trust, we're willing to take the step after the waters have stopped flowing. We're willing to walk into the middle of the river, but first let all the waters stop flowing, and then and only then will I step into the river and cross over to the other side. But that's almost like knowing the end of a movie or a book before you watch it or you read it. I mean, that's kind of boring, is it not? But so often when we think about trust, we look at it as, well, as long as we know how everything's going to play out, as long as we know what all the next 5, 6, 7 steps are, then and only then will we step into the water. But the picture that we're given here of what trust looks like is we're led to this moment, we're led to this place, and then it's as if God is saying, now take a step. I'll make a way. I'll make this possible. But I won't make this possible until your feet touch the water's edge. I remember when I was thinking about starting a church, I went back and forth so often about, should I start a church? Should I not start a church? I would ask people about it, pray about it, and I would just go back and forth until I came to this quote. If God hasn't clearly said no, He is saying yes. I wonder how many nudges, How many promptings of God, of the Spirit of God, do we miss because we're looking for that clear yes before we step out? So we'll go through the Bible and we'll open up to one page and point our fingers at something, thinking, okay, this might speak to my situation. What does this have to say to me? Or we'll ask people, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Think I should go and do this? What do you think about this decision? Almost as if we want their approval to justify our desires, the things we want, the things that we know deep within us. We can't explain, but yet we know them to be true. And so we look around almost as if we want a permission slip from God or a permission slip from someone else because we pray about it, we ask, we read scripture, and yet it doesn't seem like we have a very clear inclination of, well, this is exactly because here's how it's going to all work out. It's almost as if, what if I were to have a conversation with God, like, hey, God, I want to start this church, but I'm not sure if this is your will. And then God were to answer, well, does the idea bring life to your soul? Does the idea, when you talk about it, when you think about it, when you mention it to others, does it bring this abundant life within you that Jesus came to give? Does it lead you more into this full, joyous, grace-filled way of living? Well, yeah. And I can almost imagine God saying, well, what more do you need? What other affirmation do you need from me? I've planted those desires and those longings within you. See, we often want the waters to be parted before we step into the river. But that's not how God works. God brings all these desires to our soul and then says, have fun. Enjoy. Go and live your life to the fullest. Trust that I'm there with you. And I think one of the saddest things that I see is when I hear people tell me, I have this great idea, or I know I need to have this conversation with him, but I've been holding off for months. And what happens is there's the resentment that builds up, or the withering of our souls that slowly begins to happen. And it's as if the life that God has given us, that precious, beautiful life that we've been gifted with, slowly goes dark and cold. So for us, this year, as our journey of life continues, what is your promised land? What is it that you know deep within you? You might not be able to explain it, but you know deep within you that this is where God is leading you, that this is where God has been leading you all along. Is it a conversation to initiate? Is it a new practice, a new routine to work into your life? Is it a certain decision that must be made and you've been holding out, waiting for months, maybe even years? Is it a certain step that you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I must go after this. I must try this. This season, as your journey continues, may you trust that voice. May you trust that urge within you, that longing within you. Trust that God has led you to this moment. And that prompting, that nudge is from the Spirit, bringing you to the next step of your journey. And whenever you come upon that raging river at flood season, may you see that God is leading the way. And as you step forward, as your feet touch the water's edge, may you see how God parts the river and makes this raging river dry ground. Let me pray here this morning. God, we come to you this morning. And God, I thank you for all of the desires and the passions, God, that you've placed in our heart. God, I thank you for how you speak to each of us. Whether it's about decisions to be made, conversations to be had. God, things that will lead us into more of this abundant life that Christ came to give us. So God, I pray that when we come across a difficult moment in our lives, a time that requires risk, that requires trust and faith, God, I pray that we would be like the Israelites here and that we would trust that you have led us to this moment. God, that we wouldn't stand by the riverbank, that we wouldn't turn and run back the other way, but God, that we would move forward, trusting that you're with us, trusting that even when things seem impossible, God, when things seem impassable, that you are a God who makes a way. God, that you are a God that travels with us. And so I pray that whatever river we are standing in front of this morning, I pray that you would give us the courage and the trust to take that step. God, whatever you have been speaking to us this morning and in days and weeks and months past, God, I ask that you would make that clear enough that we would be willing to take that step. So I pray that as we do and as you meet us in those moments, God, that our trust in you would continue to grow and that we would be people filled with this abundant, joyous life that Christ offers. So we pray, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.